news continues to happen, and the Shannon and Schrader podcast is here to decipher the madness, to make sense of what's real and what's propaganda, and to give you our point of view. Now, here's Steve and Shannon.
Well, good afternoon, Shannon. How are you on this Tuesday afternoon in the, well, weather that looked pretty good earlier, but it's going to get pretty windy for us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, except, this first story is absolutely horrible. Out of Fayetteville, Indiana, so not far from where we are, and well, I guess we'll play the audio. We'll throw this on our Twitter handle. But this is a minute five, and it's a guy who it looks like someone's hijacking his truck, and he's got like a almost like a railroad truck, right? Is that what it looks like?
It looks like some kind of utility truck or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. This was posted by Warpath 2.0. And first, you'll hear the shots fired. This guy's firing the shots at the guy stealing his truck, but they put the truck into reverse, back up, and then gun it at, like, what? I would guess at 60 miles an hour?
Fast,
and,
yeah.
And run this guy over, and now he's dead. Just an absolutely horrible story. His name was Ricky Alex Driggers. Is the one who's charged with first-degree murder, larceny of a motor vehicle, fleeing to elude arrest, and two counts of attempted common-law robbery in the incident that left Jonathan Adam LeCompte, 38, dead. And this video is, first of all, I doubt that Indiana has the death penalty. I don't know that they do, but this bastard deserves the death penalty.
Oh, yeah. He plowed that guy over.
Yeah. Man, unbelievable.
It's a horrible, horrible video.
It's a horrible, horrible video, but you have to see it because you have to protect yourself. So here it is. Okay, now he's seeing that they're taking his truck. So he comes around to the driver's side. The guy just gets into it, so he starts firing shots. So now the guy's backing it up. You can hear the truck. And the guy didn't get out of the way fast enough. He tried to get others to safety, and this guy just ran him down in cold blood.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm going to stop it there. It's just, this is one of the most awful videos I've ever seen.
Me too. When I first saw it, I wasn't prepared for that. And I was like, what did I just see?
And you gave me the story before I saw the video. And
I told you to be prepared.
And you told me to be prepared. And I got to tell you, folks, I can tell you to be as prepared as many times as I want right now. There's nothing that prepares you for this video.
No. No, it's awful. Awful, awful.
Absolutely. Absolutely awful. And again, it's the nature of the Biden administration, a completely lawless society.
You never know what's going to happen every day, no matter where you are.
Yeah. It's quite horrible. On a different front, by the way, we recorded an interview with J. Christian Adams earlier on today. What did you think of the interview? It was a pretty short interview, about 10 minutes or so. But he talked about what Celestine Jeffries refuses to do, which is follow the law when it comes to elections.
Yeah, it was a good interview, and he seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, he does. And in particular, what it is if someone registers to vote on election day, the procedure By the way, when I say procedure, I mean state law. Okay? The state law is Celestine Jeffries has to send out a postcard to that residence to make sure that it matches up. If it doesn't, it's supposed to be turned over to prosecutors to be prosecuted as tampering with an election. That's not being done. His Public Interest Legal Foundation has told them you're violating the law. They have placed a complaint with WEC. Good luck with that, because you've got the squatting Megan Wolf at WEC, who the Senate did not confirm her, but yet she refuses to leave. And Robin Voss, being the cowardly rhino he is, he refuses to impeach her. But here is Maria Bartiromo with Senator Rand Paul. This is from the 14th, and this is Sunday Morning Futures. She has Rand Paul on, and he's saying, well, looking at Mike Johnson, not too much difference between him and the Democrats.
So Speaker Johnson was incredibly wrong. He broke the tie. He voted with the Democrats. Here we have the leader of the Republicans in the House votes with the Democrats against a warrant requirement. We also have Speaker Johnson voting for the spending package, once again, with the majority of the Democrats. As I see it now, I'm not sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. The debt, the deficit this year will be $1.5 to $2 trillion, and that's Mike Johnson's bill. He put it forward. He supported it with a minority of Republicans, with a majority of Democrats. This is not using the power of the purse. This is abdicating the power of the purse.
Well, why?
So, Speaker.
You know what?
I was right.
Yeah, you were right. You didn't like Mike Johnson from the get-go.
I still don't.
I know you don't, and I'm not saying you're wrong at all. Look, the facts are what they are. I worry about the Republican Party switching speakers again in an election year. Shannon, your thoughts, or is it better to get rid of Johnson now?
Well, I don't think it's good to keep switching either, but I don't think they should have picked him in the first place. So there's that. I mean, I knew that then, though. And I said that then.
And you did. Look,
but he had everybody fooled right away.
He most certainly did. So speaking of left-wing loons, this is on Libs of TikTok. So outside of Chicago, you saw the thing how... Palestinian, so basically terrorist protesters. You saw all the images in Chicago where
they were blocking the airport?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were also on the Golden Gate Bridge, and yeah. I think some other bridge too.
Well, did you ever wonder where the training comes from for this?
Well, yes, I did, and now I know, because I saw this.
Yeah, and, you know, George Soros is behind a lot of this. And, of course, you know, now he owns 230 radio companies across the country, so that's just great. Here's the video of terrorist training going on just outside of Chicago, courtesy of the Free Press.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas. But we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg bar.
Marg bar.
Marg bar Israel.
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 Thank you.
What does that mean?
Oh, so... As
they're all like dumbasses in masks.
It can be
left
to or down with. So
can we get a Mark Bar America?
We can get a Mark Bar America. Yes, we can. Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
so
we want
these.
So he
taught them that, and then they had to ask him, "What did that mean?" Like they didn't even know what they were learning.
And they we want these people in the country? Is that
I don't know anybody that does.
No, I don't. But guess what? They should keep doing it. I can't believe this. Alan Dershowitz, of all people, again, he's one of those few honest liberals, but in 54 seconds, look, I said a long time ago, I have no... Why do you think Jews vote for Democrats? Is it just stupidity?
Yeah. I think they just don't.
I mean, they literally vote for people that would put them in concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes no sense to me. So here's Alan Dershowitz giving the Democrat Party a warning.
The Democratic Party is at risk of becoming the pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, pro-Hamas party. And if it becomes that, it has an enemy in me, and it has an enemy in many others who have long supported the Democratic Party. It's turning Israel from a bipartisan issue into a partisan issue. Not good for Israel, not good for America, not good for Democrats like me who have been generally loyal to the Democratic Party for so many years. We feel betrayed, and we're not going to take it. So my oath to you, if the United States cuts back on military aid to Israel, if it doesn't go through with its obligation, legal, ethical, moral, to send these F-16 or whatever fighter jets to Israel and denies them the right to protect themselves against Hamas, I will actively campaign against Democratic candidates all over the country. If the administration in any way cuts back military aid from Israel, I will no longer be a member of the Democratic Party.
What took you so long, Al?
Right?
I mean, that's really what, to me, it's like, what took you so long, Al? You've seen what they've tried to do to President Trump, Al. In fact, you've been on his legal team, even though you admit you didn't vote for him either time, which I give you credit for. You're an honest liberal. And Alan Dershowitz is obviously an esteemed legal professor emeritus at Harvard. But, Shannon, I doubt that the Democrat Party will listen much.
Well, no, they're not going to listen at all.
And again, I do not understand why Jews support the Democrat Party. I just do not. I do not understand it. I hope it's one of those things that you don't see this November, but you know, we'll see. I know Trump is actively pushing. Trump is actively pushing to make inroads with the Jewish community, and I applaud him for that.
Me too.
Another horrible story. Shannon, you want to talk about this particular story? Again, this is out of the Chicago area too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. This is a 81-year-old delivery driver that has worked at the same pizza place, I think, for over 40 years delivering pizzas, and he got carjacked, was it at gunpoint? I'm not sure. And beat up.
Yeah, they beat up an 81-year-old Vietnam veteran wearing his army hat, and they beat him up, and it was teenage kids, and they took his vehicle for a ride and totaled his car.
Right. Yeah, he ended up getting the car back, but it was completely totaled. So the good part of this story is, though, that they had a GoFundMe for him, and they've already raised almost $61,000 for him, so he'll be able to get a new car. And he said as soon as he feels better, he's going to go back to work.
And they'll keep delivering pizzas. This is a neat story because this guy has worked for this pizzeria for like 40 years.
And they love him like family.
Yeah, and even the two owners, and it looks like a brother-sister owners, they took it over from mom and dad and said, look, he's family.
So, and apparently he's family to all his customers, too, because they're all donating to the GoFundMe. Everybody on
Now I want to go down there and get a pizza.
It looks like really good pizza.
I know. It looks like a really good pizza. Let's listen to the story from Eyeball. You love it when I do that.
Eyewitness News.
Eyeball News exclusive. Here it is.
They said, give me the keys. And they sucker punched me from the behind. Hit me in the face. I was afraid for my life.
So Ernie did not fight back. He stayed face down on the street and listened as they took off in his car. Hours later, state police were able to spot the car, a 2015 Hyundai Santa Fe, on the expressway. But after a short chase, it crashed, leaving major damage. They arrested one teenage suspect and are still looking for others. Ernie has delivered pizza for Joe's on Higgins for the last 40 years.
He's like family to us. He's seen me grow up.
That's Frank DeMonte,
very young,
one of the owners.
You know, he worked for my dad.
Ernie's very special to us. always has been.
Many customers, in fact, request Ernie to deliver their pizza. He's also a Vietnam veteran, so when word got out about the carjacking, many in the community have offered to help.
He's like a local legend. He's loyal to Joe's for 40 years, served our country, and he deserves our support in his time of need.
It could have been a lot worse. He couldn't come home. He wouldn't have came home that day. I don't know what I would have done without him.
I got a daughter and a son. I got to live for them.
An experience like this would be enough to convince a lot of people to simply quit their job. Not Ernie, however. He says as soon as he gets a car again, he plans to come right back here and continue delivering pizzas.
I think Ernie needs a dog to deliver pizzas with him, like a big old Rottweiler.
I don't think a dog would be good in the car with a bunch of pizzas.
Probably. You know, Reagan's pretty good with food. How are your dogs with food? Like, Reagan, I can leave food out as long as I don't give him a sample of it first. Like, if I give him a sample of it and then I try to take it away from him, you know, Kitty bar the door. That's no-brainer.
Well, two of my dogs are too short to get the food, but the big Roz, she can get up on the counter. She eats loaves of bread. She just grabs it and eats it. Two a day if she could. And so there's that.
Roz is a puppy. And why the name Roz?
Because she's named after Frasier's producer.
I knew that.
You know, I'm a producer.
See, I knew that, but I wanted you to tell it to the audience. See, I was doing what good lawyers do right there. I was asking a question I already knew the answer to. And that's what good lawyers do. Speaking of honest liberals, another one. This is a guy I'd like to interview. We should see if we could get Jonathan Turley or the Dersh.
The Dersh.
I wonder if he would allow me to call him the Dersh.
Probably. Well, maybe. Depends.
He's probably going to want me to call him Professor Emeritus, which I would oblige.
I'd just call him the Dersh.
I'd like to call him the Dersh. Anybody, if you know Alan Dershowitz.
If you know
him. I like him. I just want to be able to call him the Dersh. Jonathan Turley was on with Maria Bartiromo on Sunday Morning Futures. Well, that's the Sunday Morning Futures clips here. So Maria Bartiromo's doing her job as well as Shannon is, of course.
And I don't even watch her show. I just watch.
I know. Here's Jonathan Turley talking about this New York court case that Trump has to deal with. And again, I say it that way because, look, if you have half a brain and you can use it to do reason, this lawsuit in New York is absolute garbage, and you know it.
Everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. And Bragg was forced, after he declined for a long time to bring this charge, to do so. His predecessor rejected it. And so they took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. So you have this crazy case that's going to go forward, and it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer.
Wow.
And he's going to appear as the center of this case.
Unbelievable. Jonathan, great.
They get a guy, okay. They get a guy in Michael Cohen who they know is not a good witness. But let's get him on there. Let's get Trump. It's all about getting Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. This is two good news stories today to wrap things up. Well, here's a flashback of Lindsey Graham talking about his feelings on Iran. Go figure. He wants war, as always.
Iran, if you escalate this war, we're coming for you.
Now, I don't know if he said that on Meet the Press this weekend or...
No, I think it was a while ago.
But it was posted on Freya on Twitter, and she posted it and said, here's a throwback warmonger, Lindsey Graham, sending Iran a message. Well, we have one from Donald Trump to Iran that he gave to the late, great Rush Limbaugh. The only thing is, Trump talked like real people talk, and there's an F-bomb right at the start.
Yeah, that one needs to be bleeped before we can play that.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to bleep it. And this is one of those deals in a podcast. I'd like to let it fly, but then I'll be told that some of your sensibilities would be offended by it. So we won't. We'll bleep it out and we'll share it with everybody tomorrow or on Saturday. But here's a good flashback. We've got Milton Friedman. Is Phil Donahue dead?
I don't know. You know, when I saw this, I wondered the same thing. And I was going to look it up, and I didn't.
I should look that up in the meantime. Why don't you preview this for the audience while I look that up real quick?
Well, he is schooling him on capitalism. And Phil Donahue is getting schooled.
Yeah, Phil Donahue. And he's on with Milton Friedman. No, Phil Donahue. Oh, holy crap. Look at the...
Holy crap.
He looks awful. Wow, he's 88. But... Did you see him in that?
He looks 88.
Oh, yeah. He definitely looks 88. Of course, he never looked young.
Look at him in the clip.
Look at him when he was relevant, and he was still never looked young. Well, looks like he's got the same wife. Who's that?
I can't remember her.
Oh, Marlo Thomas.
Yeah. He's married to her.
He's married to Marlo Thomas?
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, where have you been?
I like her from St. Jude's. You know, she's still, her father, Danny Thomas, started St. Jude's, the children's hospital, and she took over the mantle after Danny died, but.
But she's still married to Phil Donahue. She's been married to him for a very long time.
Since 1980, so yeah, 40-some years. Well, here's Milton Friedman schooling the liberal Donahue.
See around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries. When you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism?
Nope.
And whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us. Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
I love Milton Friedman.
Even more now?
We were talking to our boss about this prior to the podcast, and I'm reading David McCullough's John Adams. And yeah, Shannon, I went back.
Here goes the story.
I went back to the nerdery. Shannon gives me grief when I go to the nerdery, but I'm just going to go to the nerdery here. They didn't have the distractions of social media and cell phones and TVs and radio and all this stuff. Our founding fathers very much thought out our Constitution, our founding documents. They thought about it. They sat. They spent years thinking about it. Here's what's sad to me, Shannon. Milton Friedman, this was from 1979. Milton Friedman was a professor of economics at Harvard University. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the next Milton Friedman? Milton Friedman's been dead a long time. That's a bad thing. What I'm saying is there's no other economist, right? Like when he comes on, you instantly, because you're smart, you know who it is, right? You know the face. So you grew up with his face, right?
And Phil Donahue's face.
And Phil Donahue's face. Now, Phil Donahue's face, I didn't grow up with because there was no way my dad was going to... If we watched Phil Donahue...
My dad didn't watch it. My mom did.
Well, no, but see, my dad was a stricter disciplinarian then because... Well, but my mom didn't like Phil either. You know, she would say he's a liberal ass. So, you know...
So was Oprah. My mom watched that too.
Yeah, see, no, they didn't watch any... But you know what? It's funny. As a kid... Mom and dad were like, you know, Bill Cosby, now there's a good guy, right?
Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy, that foul mouth. Well, as it turned out, Bill Cosby was not a good guy.
At all.
At all. And, Eddie Murphy's, I don't know. Do you know much about Eddie Murphy's personal life? I don't think he's really been in any trouble, has he?
I don't think so. I think he's just... foul mouth and funny. But you know
it's
who is a
funny.
Good guy? That guy.
Scottie Scheffler.
Yes.
You know, you found this. I had no idea. But he gets cracked up, and this is how we're going to end the podcast. This was so good, Shannon. I wanted this to be how we leave the podcast because it is positive. Scottie Scheffler has won his second green jacket. As you knew, I grew up playing golf. I love the sport. Second championship in 3 years. He's now among those who have two green jackets from Masters victories. But you've got to hear this soundbite. It's 39 seconds, but it shows Scottie Scheffler has his priorities straight.
Sitting around with my buddies this morning, I was a bit overwhelmed because I told him, I was like, I wish that I didn't want to win as badly as I did or as badly as I do. I think it would make the mornings easier, but I love winning. I hate losing. I really do. And when you're here in the biggest moments, when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's
he breaks up.
That's a pretty special feeling to know that I'm secure for forever. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not I win this tournament or if I lose this tournament. You know, my identity is secure for forever.
Pretty awesome stuff.
I agree. I saw that. Well, I saw a longer version of it, but that's the best part of it right there.
Yeah. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It shows quite a difference between him and Tiger Woods. You know?
Yes, indeed.
And I got to say, I was never a huge Tiger fan when he was at his peak. I just wasn't. I don't know. I was always more of a Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player type guy. And I forgot to play the Gary Player soundbite last week.
That makes me mad because I told you like 10 times to play it.
Yeah, we've got to remember to do that. I'm writing myself a note to play the Gary Player soundbite.
Probably still on here.
Oh, yeah. If it is, play it. Because Gary Player was 88 years old. I quizzed Shannon last week. I said, how old do you think that dude is? And she goes, oh, 60, maybe. 88. The dude looks like he's 60. He's still walking around Augusta, playing golf, and he's pro-American as he always has been. Shannon from the archives, bringing it out, saving my butt. Here it goes.
And I never forget to mention this. To come to this great country, the United States of America, if you hear, you are so blessed, and you should kiss the ground every day. And just appreciate what this country's done for the world, not only for yourselves, but it's about time America started doing more for their own.
You know, Sounds like an America First guy to me.
I know, right?
The South African giving it to us straight. I love it. With that, we're going to wrap up this podcast. We will splice in. Well, you know what? We'll run the J. Christian Adams part of the podcast tomorrow. We'll include it in what we do tomorrow. How's that?
Sounds like a plan to me.
With that, we'll wrap it up for today. We'll be back tomorrow to podcast again. Remember, freedom can't be centralized, and whether you like it or hate it, in your heart, you know, we're right. We'll see you tomorrow.